Desire y'all's prayers this evening. Have a thought I'd like to bring up that the Lord gave me that I hadn't really thought of it that way before. Oftentimes when we think of Christ's death, we tend to think of the Passover and the offering of the Passover lamb. But I'd like to look at a different sacrifice in the Old Testament, one that I think that as we dig into it, you'll find there are parallels also with Christ. So I'd like to go back to Leviticus chapter 16. And in Leviticus chapter 16, we have the sacrifice of the two goats. The one that was offered as an atonement sacrifice, and the other that was the scapegoat. So Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And here we see there's a choosing of two goats. Now the Jewish tradition on these goats said that these two goats were to be as similar as possible. They had to be, if you were to buy them, you wanted to pay the same amount of money for them. They really wanted them to be as identical as they could be. They didn't have to be 100%, but you know, you wanted to find as close as you could get to two identical goats. And then dropping on down there in Leviticus to verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. This is the one that was the lot for the Lord fell on. That is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil. And do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation, that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So we see here the goat that was chosen for the Lord. This goat was going to be killed, and its blood used to go into the holy place, all the way into the mercy seat. And that blood was going to be used to sprinkle and make an atonement for the people, for the priest, and for the holy place. It was basically to purify the land, the people, the priest, everything. And then if we go on down to Leviticus 17, verse 11, one thing I want to bring out here. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. So one thing I want us to think about here is this goat chosen for the Lord and then sacrificed, its blood was brought into the Holy of Holies. And thinking about Christ, when he was sacrificed, what do you think happened with his soul? What did he tell the thief? This day you will be with me in paradise. You're going to a place that no man on earth can approach due to their sin. So Christ was going to die, and the life of his blood was going to allow him to go into the Holy of Holies, if you will. That's where he was going for, on our behalf. So moving on down into Leviticus 16, going down to verses 20 through 22, now we have here what's called the scapegoat. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. Now, the actual name written on that lot was called Azazel. And there is some debate as to what it means, because you can split the word up in different ways and get different meanings out of it. One of the meanings that it could mean is a goat that is removed or separated, a very literal name for this is the goat for the Lord and this is the goat that's to be separated. It's also said that it could mean complete removal. So here's a goat that is for the Lord and here's the goat to be completely removed. It also could mean a wild, rugged area. So here's the goat for the Lord, or the goat that goes out into the wild, rugged area. And it also has been said that it is the name of a demon deity that was worshipped in that area, and that therefore one goat was for the Lord, and you could say one goat was for the devil. Regardless of what the name really means, if you want to get into it, I don't think it matters as much, but if you think about it, one goat was going to be killed and its blood taken into the Holy of Holies. But another goat was going to have hands laid on it, the sins of the people ceremoniously given to it, and it was going to be taken out into the wilderness. And the tradition of the Jews is they would take it out into the wilderness to a cliff, and they would push it off the cliff. It didn't go free and live. We sometimes think of the scapegoat as the one that got let go. But in the Jewish tradition, that wasn't the case. It died. It just died outside of the camp. It died beyond the camp. And I think that's something we need to consider, because as we move down and looking at Christ, let's turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, starting in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. I wanted to point this out here. We have at Christ's offering for us, we have a choice here being made, if you will, between two goats. Symbolically, calling them goats. But there's one thing that I find interesting is that Barabbas means son of Abba, or son of a father. There is, in the study I've done on that, some of the early writings, there was about 27 of them that I could locate, actually gave Barabbas a first name. Jesus. And so here we see Pilate asking them, in the early copies of those 27 I find, Pilate's actually asking them, Who do you want released to you? Jesus, son of Abbas, or Jesus, who is called Christ. And it just struck me. The Jewish tradition was the two goats would be as similar as they could get. And yet here we have two men, if you will, a lot of similarities, but not identical. And the people here are being asked to choose which one's going to be sacrificed and which one's going to be let free. Kind of a parallel, if you will, back to the goats back on the Day of Atonement. So how does that apply to us today? What can we get from that today? So I want to turn over to 1 Peter. in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." And then dropping on down to verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light." So if you read about that, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Isn't that what the first goat was killed to atone for? The nation, the priesthood, the people. So Christ came down and he died for that. And in that death, he gave every one of us a choice. A choice that we're going to look at and say, we have a decision to make. With our decisions, are we going to turn towards what I'm going to call death in the eyes of the world? We're going to give up things. We're going to die to ourselves and lose it all, according to the way the world will look at. Or are we going to turn towards, and this once again is from the eyes of the world where I'm speaking now, and say, well, I'm not going to die. I'm going to stay alive. I'm going to focus on my career. I'm going to gain things. I'm going to do well. I'm going to invest money. I'm going to be successful. What are we choosing? Christ chose to die. And in his death, though, did he lose out? Or did he gain it all? And I find in our lives sometimes we're being asked, which way are you going to go? Our world today is definitely asking. When the world around you starts asking questions about your views on politics, your questions on views on lifestyles, you know you can duck and dodge those questions for a while. But sooner or later you're going to get around someone and they're going to pin you down. Where do you stand? I'm going to ask you, have you thought about that? Have you thought about where you really stand? And are you prepared to stick to it? Even if it means losing everything in the world. Now I know Christ died that day, and he didn't come back to the world for 3 days. But where did it say he was going to be that day? Not in the world, but he was in paradise. Where was the sinner man that was there on the cross with him? The one who told the other man, don't make fun of this guy. We're here for our sins. We're here because of what we did. He's innocent. And he turned to Jesus, and what was his appeal? Lord, remember me. What is our choice? Now, I look at him, and I've often been amused by his story. Such a simple request, but such a long-lasting impact on his life. Just hours away from death, and his willingness to say, you know, I've wasted everything here, and I could be like my friend over here, because based on the history, it sounds like they were both people that had been caught up in a similar insurrection. In fact, Barabbas, some of the speculation is Barabbas would have been the third man on the cross. These were his buddies that Jesus was killed with as part of the insurrection. That basically Jesus took his place on the cross when the people chose to let Barabbas go free. And so Jesus is up here hanging with the two other guilty people that had been arrested. And one of them says, Lord, remember me. I know you're guiltless, but you're dying. Well, I thought about the faith that man had to have. How many of you nailed to a cross would make your appeal for mercy to the guy nailed on the cross next to you? Does that sound like the guy that's going to save you? The guy that's going to turn everything around for you? The guy that's up there just like you are? But that's what that sinner looked at. And instead of appealing to the Romans or appealing to intellect, he appealed to God and said, you know, I see something bigger than the guy that's dying with me. I see a guy dying for something bigger than anybody at this location can see right now. Even the disciples were struggling with it. His choice was, I'm going to choose to die, to not come down off this cross, to die for my sins, give it all up. But in doing so, he gained access to that Holy of Holies. I'd like for us to flip back over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, we have a verse that should be familiar to most of us. I know from mine going to church and growing up, you hear this verse a lot. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'd also like for us to look at Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Both of these questions were given to the Jewish people. The first one in Deuteronomy was the choice given to the people when they came out of Egypt. And I thought about that. Egypt signifies coming out of sin. And the Lord told the people, you've come out of sin. And I'm setting before you a choice. Choose this day, and I'm going to add some words here, and every day going forward, who you're going to serve. Choose life or choose death. It's set before you. Each and every day you're going to make choices. That's going to choose whether you live, whether you die. The sons of Aaron that offered strange fire, they made a choice, didn't they? And they died. When the fiery serpents were in the camp, the people that made the choice to look up at the serpent that Moses had made, what happened to them? They lived. So the Lord has gave us all choices of living and dying. And the reason why I mentioned the one in Joshua is because that was after the people had gone into the promised land. After they had subdued most of their enemies and were fairly secure in the land. And Joshua is reminding them, you may be secure in the promised land. My take on this is you may be secure in your sanctification. You've made it from salvation into sanctification. But don't forget, you still have the choices to make. These choices are still going to come every day. And every day you're going to make a choice. Are you going to choose life? Or are you going to choose death? We think about Barabbas. What happened to Barabbas? We have no idea. He disappears from the stage of life. We hear nothing of him again. What do we hear about Christ? How many years has it been since Christ, I'm going to put up air quotes, died, and yet we're still talking about him? We're still talking about how he lives through us. We talk about how he actually came back and walked on the earth for a period of time alive then, and how he's going to come back to get us one day. Which one of the two goats, if you will, separated there, actually lived? The one that appeared to be released to life? Or the one that was willing to give up everything for the greater good? I would challenge all of us. What are we doing with our lives? What choices are we making? Are we choosing the atoning blood of Christ? When we decide the way we're going to react to things, the way we're going to handle things, what we're going to do, who we're going to marry for young people, jobs we're going to have, there's all kinds of things we make choices on. They may sound small, but do we think about when we go to make those choices, what's the long-term impact? Is this going to be good for my soul? Or, rather than looking to Christ and how is this going to impact that, do we get to looking at the things that we feel is most beneficial? How's this going to impact my career? How's it going to impact how people think about me? There's a big difference between how does this impact how people will think about Christ and how will people think about me? I can tell you from my experience walking for the Lord, it's not that the Lord doesn't want you well thought of, but He would rather you be made a fool of than for His name to suffer. And that's Bible. I can pull you the verses out through the foolishness of preaching. But that's the way God has chosen it. That's what He wants. And if you don't think preaching doesn't feel like foolishness sometimes, stand up in front of a group of people that you know have been reading their Bible for years and purport to tell them you've got something new to say. You know, if you stop and think about that, it does seem kind of silly. We've all been reading the same book. What suddenly gives me something new to say? The only thing I can say is through the Spirit of the Lord, He can give us thoughts, hopefully that are beneficial to others. I would also challenge us, though, what are the voices of our lives saying? Jesus' life had a voice. When He hung there on that cross, what was He saying to those two sinners? What did He say? We don't have any recollection that He said anything to either one of those men. Both of those men, however, said something to Christ. And what they said had to do with the life that Christ had lived. The one man says, well, you claim to be God and all that, and if you're God, you know, go ahead, get us down off here. The other man said, you know, you think that's funny to say that, but if you look at this man's life, you'll realize he's lived a good life. He's innocent. You need to leave him alone. And then, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He looked at Jesus' life and he saw more in it. He saw something that truly caught his attention. So in our lives, are we actually hearing what the Lord says and then echoing that voice in our lives? Are we instead, and I'm going to go to Luke chapter 23, verse 23, and read here, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. Story of Barabbas. Is our life a voice that's instant with loud voices that crucifies God? You know, when we make a choice to disobey Him, we in essence are making a choice to crucify Him. The Bible talks about those that have known Him and walk away crucify Christ anew. Isn't that a scary thing to consider doing? To lending our voice, our lives, our choices to actually killing Christ again? I would challenge all of us. Christ came down to be that atonement for us. And He gave us a choice. And I would challenge all of us, make good choices today. You all pray for me.